If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, the verse that's on my heart, I'm sure that probably everyone here knows by heart. Psalm 118 and verse 24. The 118th Psalm and verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord hath made. God made today. God made, if we went all the way back to the creation of this world, God is the one that created the world. And in 6 days, God made everything that there was. Each of those days was a special day. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. On the second day, God divided the waters that were above from the waters that were beneath. God, on each of those days, God did particular works. And today is another day that God made. Every day since those first 6 days, God is the one who has made every one of those days. God is the one who made today. And the Word of God teaches us that we need to remember that this is the day the Lord hath made. We need to think about God as our Creator. That God, it is God that hath made us and not we ourselves. And then he says, after he says, "This is the day the Lord hath made," the scripture says, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." The people of God, more than any other people on the face of the earth, we have every reason in the world to rejoice today. Now, there are a lot of prayer requests, there are a lot of problems, there are a lot of troubles, but it doesn't matter how many troubles or how many problems exist. Every day is a day that we should be rejoicing. Doesn't matter if you're sick. Doesn't matter if you lose your loved ones. Doesn't matter what else happens in your life. Every day is a day that we ought to be rejoicing. We will, the psalmist says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Word of God teaches us that we're to rejoice evermore. There are a number of times in the Scriptures that the Bible commands us to rejoice. So even if you don't feel like rejoicing, you ought to rejoice. God's Word says, rejoice evermore. The Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The Word of God says that we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. There are a lot of people that are rejoicing today. I think that Sister Leslie is rejoicing to be back in the house of the Lord. I believe that Brother Jody, after being in the hospital, is rejoicing to be back in the Lord. Every time that you have major trouble, and then God begins to lift you up from that trouble, you have a greater appreciation for every day. And you tend to rejoice more in the middle of afflictions and after afflictions than you do any other time. So we need to pray that God will help us to rejoice. Now, the Scripture says here, this is the day. I want us to think about particular days, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As we read the Word of God, we find that there are a number of occasions where people on particular days had a special reason to rejoice. I believe that when God made Eve for Adam, I believe that Adam rejoiced that day. And all through the Scriptures, we can look at things that happened in people's lives, and we can know that on that day, there was special rejoicing. I believe that after the flood, I believe that when that boat, when Noah's ark began to settle on dry ground, I believe that when that dove brought back that leaf, I believe that there was great rejoicing that went on in the ark. It was a special day. There was something that happened that day that caused that day to be a special day for them. When the children of Israel were delivered, finally delivered from Egyptian bondage, and they were brought out of Egypt, I believe that the children of Israel rejoiced on that day when they came out of Egypt. The Word of God says this about Abraham. Jesus makes this statement in John. The Word of God says that Jesus says that Abraham lived hundreds of years before Jesus, and yet the Scripture says that Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, Abraham saw the day of Christ before Jesus was ever born. I believe that when Abraham carried his only son, Isaac, when he carried him up into that mountain to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, I believe that Abraham was rejoicing even that day. But whenever God stopped him from slaying his son, and when he saw the ram caught in the thicket, I believe there was special rejoicing that went on that day in the life of Abraham. We read about people that are full of sorrow on some occasions, and yet then God brings them joy. For example, Hannah. Hannah wept and cried for a long time because what was it that she wanted so much? She wanted a child. Now listen, brethren, when she was finally with child, and the day that child was born, that was a day that Hannah rejoiced. The Word of God tells us that she rejoiced that day that her child was born. It was a special day for Hannah. Did she rejoice that day? Could she on that day say, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice because my son is born"? If you think about the wise men, the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 2 that when the wise men saw the star in the east, the Bible says that they rejoiced when they saw the star. That was a special day in their lives when that star led them to Bethlehem. We read about the shepherds that were out in their fields keeping watch over their flock by night. But listen, brethren, there was something special that happened that day when the angels appeared to those shepherds and began to give them good tidings of great what? Good tidings of great joy. And the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You think those shepherds rejoiced that day? The Word of God declares that there was great rejoicing that day in the lives of those shepherds and in the lives of many other people. A lot of rejoicing on that day. Now, as I have been thinking about and meditating and studying this verse of Scripture, that this is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And as I've gone back through the Scriptures and looked at so many people that had particular days that they did rejoice on those days, I did something that I encourage all of you to do this week, and that is, I encourage you to go back in your life and think about all the different days in your life that you have had special reasons to rejoice on particular days. I went all the way back to my childhood, and I have begun to just reminisce. They say that's a sign you're getting old when you start going back. But let me tell you something, brethren, I have rejoiced in looking and thinking back on day after day in my childhood, that those were some special days, not just every day, but particular days that stand out in my mind when I was a child. And then I think about the day that I finished high school. That was a good day for me to get that behind me and have it over with and to be through with high school. And then the day that I got married was a special day. It was a day that I rejoiced. It was a day the Lord had made, and it was a day that I rejoiced, the day that I got married. And then the day that our children, each of our four children, each of those days are very vivid in my mind. I remember the birth of each of our children, and those were special days in my life. And the birth of each of my grandchildren, each of those 8 grandchildren, the birth, those days are special days for me. And as I began to meditate more and more, do you know what I realized? I realized that my life has been filled of days that were special days. Filled with days that were full of joy because of God's blessings in my life. My life, brethren, has been abundantly blessed by God, and your life has been abundantly blessed by God. There's not a person in this building that God has not poured blessings out on your life. And that's a reason for you to rejoice every day. Now, I mentioned some great days and special days, but I want to tell you today is a special day unto the Lord. Now, before I get to just to every day, I want you to think about the Lord's Day is a special day, isn't it? It's a special time. I look forward to every Sunday and every Wednesday. Those are the 2 best days of the week to me. Those are days that I look forward to. And I can get up every Sunday and Wednesday and say, on those days, because they are special days, I can say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can say like David did of old. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Did David rejoice on the Lord's day? Was it a special day for David? Was it a day that filled his heart with joy? Indeed it was. Why? Why? What makes the Lord's Day special? Well, one is you're not to work on the Lord's Day. That's one reason. But the Lord's Day is full of all kinds of blessings. I look forward to going to the house of God. My heart rejoices to hear the singing of the saints as the people of God join their voices together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Singing songs of praise, it brings joy to my soul. Hearing the prayers of the saints of God, to hear the people of God pray, to come into the house of God, which is called the house of prayer, for us to join our hearts together in fervent prayer to God, thanking Him for the blessings of this past week, and thanking Him for the blessings of this day. It's a blessing to me to come into the house of God, to join our hearts together in prayer, and to pray for those who stand in great need of help. It's a special place of prayer to come into His house to pray. The people of God need to see and know and feel this is the day. Today, Sunday, the Lord's Day is a special day unto the Lord, and we ought to be thankful for today. Amen. David was thankful. You know, some people just don't like Sunday. Some people don't like to go to God's house. There's something wrong. If you're a child of God and you don't look forward to going to God's house, you're very sick spiritually. If you don't want to be in the house of the Lord, you're very sick spiritually. And you need to get on your knees and stop everything else and get your life straightened out if you don't look forward to going to the house of God. If you can't say that Sunday is the very best day of the week, if you can't feel that going to the house of God and worshiping God, if that's not the best day of the week, something's wrong in your life. You need to pray for God to help you and forgive you, because you've definitely strayed from God if you can't say today, the Lord's Day, that the Lord made today. The Lord made today as a special day, didn't He? And this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Notice in Psalm 120, well, look at Psalm 126 just a moment. Psalm 126. In Psalm 126 and verse 3, Psalm 126 and verse 3, the Word of God says, the Lord hath done great things for us. Can you testify today that the Lord has done great things for you? For you. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's saying we're glad, we're thankful, we're happy, and we rejoice because the Lord has done great things for us. God has done great things for everybody in this building. He's done great things for you. You remember that man that was filled with demons, and Jesus drove the demons out of that man. And the Word of God says that Jesus said to that man, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you." Brethren, the people of God ought to be thinking about and talking about the great things that God has done and is doing and shall do for us. But today, already today, God has done great things for you. And that's a reason to rejoice. God's done some great things for you already today. You're alive, and you need to be thankful that you're alive. You have a lot of blessings to be thankful for. You have a lot. The Bible says the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. He's done great things for us. And what does the psalmist say in Psalm 126:3? He says the Lord has done great things for us, therefore we are glad. We're glad. We're rejoicing. We're happy. We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be a rejoicing people. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I have been studying the subject of joy and rejoicing this week. I have found that in the book of Philippians, more than any other little small book, the book of Philippians talks more about joy than any other small book in the Bible. I want you to turn in your Bibles right now to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I want you to, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Philippians, but I encourage you to go home and look through the book of Philippians, because as the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, wrote the book of Philippians, there are 16 times. Now you think about that. You think about that. There are only four chapters in the book of Philippians. There are only four chapters, but there are 16 times in the book of Philippians that the Apostle Paul talks about him being full of joy and he wanting the people at Philippi to be filled with joy. He talks about some of the reasons, some of the specific reasons that he is such a happy man. You know where Paul spent most of his time once he started preaching? Do you know where he spent most of his time? In jail, in prison. And by the way, the jails back then were a lot different than the jails we have today. They were dungeons. And yet Paul, every day, even in prisons, Paul would say that he was rejoicing in the Lord. And what I want you to think about right now as we think about him writing this letter, I want you to think about, it's amazing that 16 times in this little book that he talks about rejoicing. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, listen to verses 3, 4, and 5. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Word of God says, "I thank my God." Let me just pause here. Isn't that the beginning of being happy is being thankful? I believe if you're thankful, if you're really thankful, I believe you'll be happy. If you're not happy, it's because you're not thankful. If you're not happy, it's because you're not thankful. Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." You know the first thing he says? He says, "I'm praying, and while I'm praying, I'm full of joy, and the reason I'm full of joy is because I thank God for your fellowship." Is fellowship, do you appreciate fellowship? Fellowship's important. It's important. I need you, you need me. You may think that you don't need anybody. It's another sign. If you don't appreciate fellowship, if you're not thankful for the fellowship of the brethren, you're not going to be happy for fellowship. One of the reasons I like to come to church is because of the fellowship. That's not the main reason. Fellowship with God is the main reason. Coming to worship God is the main reason. But I do enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. That's something Paul says here in Philippians chapter 1, 3, 4, and 5. He's thanking God for their fellowship in the gospel. And he says, I'm full of joy because of the fellowship that we have. Listen, brethren, you have fellowship. If you have a family that's living like it ought to live, you've got fellowship in your house, don't you? I don't have any reservations in saying my best friend is my wife. My best friend is my wife. Other than Jesus. Does everybody understand what I... The best human friend I have is my wife. I thank God for my children and my grandchildren. We have good fellowship. Brethren, a family that is divided, you need to just fall on your knees and pray, God, help us to get back together. It's a horrible thing for a family to be divided. It's a wonderful thing when fellowship is what it ought to be. And that's what Paul is first thanking God for here. I thank God for the fellowship we have. Now look at chapter 1, verse 18. In Philippians chapter 1, he tells us another reason he's rejoicing. He says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. What's he say? He says, some preach Christ one way, and some preach Christ another way, but in the end, Christ is preached, and I rejoice that Christ is preached. Isn't that a blessing to know that even today, in spite of all the problems there are in America, it's a blessing to know that Christ is being preached in many places today. I know that there are a lot of false teachings going on, but I'm telling you that Paul says here that some preach Christ of contention and of strife, and some preach Christ one way and some another, but he says, I still rejoice that there are many people who still believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I rejoice that Christ is preached. Are you glad that Christ is preached? Are you glad that Christ is preached in this place? Are you glad to be a part of a church that believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? That He's our Lord, He's our Savior, He's our King, He's our brother, He's our friend, He's all the world to me. Jesus is everything. Amen. That's the way we feel about Him. And therefore, we rejoice. We're happy. Why? We're happy because of Christ. That's who makes us happy. That's who makes us happy. Rejoicing in the Lord. Just rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in one another. But more important than rejoicing in each other is rejoicing in the Lord. And rejoice that Christ is preached. And rejoice in the truth. That's something else he's going to talk about. Come down to chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, he again talks about his joy. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know what makes me happy? It makes me happy to see the church of one mind and one accord. Is that a reason for us to rejoice today as a church body? Listen, brethren, a church that's divided against itself cannot stand. Divisions and schisms in the body, they cannot be tolerated. And Paul says here, I want you to fulfill my joy that all of you would be like-minded, to be of one mind and one accord. You know how we can all be of one mind and one accord? The only way is if we follow the Word of God. That's the only way. But if we will all agree to follow the Word of God and to try to do what the Word of God says, we will all be of one mind and one accord. And that's a reason to rejoice today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice not only because we have fellowship one with another, but because there's unity in the body. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And then he says in verse 18, he says, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, if I have to die for the name of Christ, could he be happy even in dying and being offered as a sacrifice and dying for Christ's sake? Could he be happy in doing that? And did he tell them they could be happy too? That's what he says. He says, I'm happy and I rejoice. And he says, I want you to be happy and I want you to rejoice. You remember on another occasion in the book of Acts, Paul was about to go to Jerusalem. And you remember how they tried to stop him and say, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to beat you there. And he says, I'm ready to suffer and I'm ready to die at Jerusalem. Was he full of joy even though he was facing possible or probable death? He was still full of joy. The point that we need to remember right here is that even on difficult days, even on bad days, even on your worst day, you still can say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Amen. The apostles, whenever they were told in Acts chapter 5 not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and they were beaten. I doubt there's a person in this building that's ever been beaten like those apostles were beaten. And they were beaten. And they were commanded, don't speak in His name anymore. And they went out. And you know what the Scripture says they were doing? They went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Listen, brethren, we've got to reach a point in our lives that we're rejoicing every day in good times. Listen, we haven't even gotten there yet. We've got good times in our lives. We haven't gotten to the point that the Apostle Paul and Peter and those other people were at. We haven't gotten that far. We haven't even reached the point where we're being killed and persecuted, and we're not even rejoicing now. What a shame and a disgrace. We need to be rejoicing every day. We've got a reason to rejoice today. We've got a reason to rejoice right now. And even in all of your troubles and problems, you still have a reason to rejoice. Philippians chapter 3, he says, finally, my brethren, what? Rejoice. That's right. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, what if you don't have any more gold? What if your bank account's down to nothing? Do you have any reason to rejoice? Yes, rejoice in the Lord. What if you lose your home? What if you lose all of your possessions? Do you have any reason to rejoice then? Yes, rejoice in the Lord. What if you lose all of your children and all of your family? There are some of you in this building that have lost your companions and your children and your possessions, and yet you still rejoice in the Lord. I'm telling you, that's great faith. That's confidence in God. That's being a good Christian. When you can honestly, truthfully say, even in the midst of troubles and problems, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I refuse to allow Satan to get me down. I refuse to allow you or anyone else to get me down. That ought to be our position, is that we're not going to let anybody separate us from rejoicing in the Lord. Any time that somebody's gotten you so angry that you're not feeling close to God, any time you're not rejoicing in the Lord, you need to realize that person means more to you than Jesus does. And you need to just back up and start over and start rejoicing in the Lord. And let the world go their way. Let everybody else turn their back on you. But don't you ever turn your back on Jesus Christ. Don't you ever put anyone between you and Jesus. If you're not rejoicing in the Lord, it's because something or somebody has come between you and Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Be happy. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5 just a moment. Jesus is so wonderful. You know, sometimes people make it sound like that if you just join the church and you just take up your cross in water baptism, that you're just going to have a life of ease and everything's going to be wonderful. People are being lied to get them to walk down the aisle. Let me tell you something, brethren. You take up your cross in water baptism, You make a public confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Satan is going to put a target on you and do everything he can to destroy your life. And yet, brethren, and yet, it is a shame and a disgrace if you're never willing to stand up and make a public confession before the people of God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's my Savior. He died for me. He saved me from my sins. He's my Lord. I'm going to serve Him every day. I'm going to make a commitment to be faithful to Him every day. I'm going to fall short, I know, but I want to serve Him every day. I want to take up my cross in water baptism. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Do you really love Jesus enough to be baptized? Do you love Him enough to be a part of His church? Do you love Him enough to say, I'm going to do the best I can and follow Jesus? If you reach that point, you'll be where you can say from your heart, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because He's everything. He's all the world. He's everything. He's all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need. That's all I want. If I can just have that, that's all I want. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, and what I'm trying to get across right here is Jesus didn't pull any punches. Jesus didn't say, now you follow me and all's going to be well with you. And you follow me and you'll get rich. And you follow me and you won't get sick. And you follow me and everybody's going to love you. Jesus didn't give those kind of lies. And anybody else that says it's that way is a liar and is not a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution. You will have Satan attacking you. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. And that's what Jesus said. He said, you're supposed to rejoice when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Is that hard to do? Well, it is for me. It is for me. It's hard to always rejoice, even when you're being persecuted. It's a little more difficult than what it sounds like on the surface. You got a temper. Well, shame on you, sister. Me and you are more alike than you ever realize. You know it? We have a temper. And as we have tempers and as we have personalities and as we sometimes are offended, we want to get even with people. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus says, blessed are ye. And when men revile you and persecute you. And He says, do what? Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Can you rejoice on the day if they put you in prison? Can you rejoice that day? If you stand up against ungodliness and they put you to death, if they tie you to a stake and they burn you, can you rejoice even that day? Oh, we think we can. But my question is, if we're not rejoicing every day now, before we get to those difficult times, we will not ever make it there. Do you understand my point? If we can't rejoice in the good times, in fact, the question is asked in the Scriptures, I don't remember the exact quote, help me out, Brother Rich, about if you can't abide where the footmen are, what are you going to do when the horsemen come?
That's right.
Everybody remember that Scripture? If you can't, Jeremiah, that's right. If you can't abide the footmen, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? And that's the question that today is, we haven't reached the horsemen, we haven't reached the big armies, we haven't reached the big trouble, it hasn't gotten here yet. And if we're not able to just face the little problems we have now, and if we can't rejoice every day now, we're sure not going to rejoice down there. In fact, we won't even stand down there. We'll become a traitor by the time we get there.
Well, I want to rejoice every day of my life.
I do too, sister. You're a blessing to me. I like you.
Go with me in closing to 1 Peter. First Peter, did you know that no human being has ever lived a perfect life? I know you know that. And even these people that like Peter and Paul and these great men of God, none of them lived an absolutely perfect life. They all fell short. But you know what they did every time they fell down? They got up and started over. Got up and started over. And that's what we need to do. It's time to get up and start over. Rejoicing. Start over rejoicing every day. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Rejoice. Put that scripture on the mirror in your bathroom. Put it on the rearview mirror of your car. Don't cover it up completely, but somewhere. Put reminders up there that you need to rejoice. And say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Word of God here is telling us about difficult times that come in verse 6, 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You see what he says? You greatly rejoice, but what's happening right now? You're having what right now? You're having manifold temptations right now. You're having trouble right now. Help her out, sister, brother Dave, brother Mike. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice, but sometimes, while you're rejoicing, you still have a lot of troubles. And that's what he's saying. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Do you understand? And then he says, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. By the way, that salvation is talking about being saved from sorrow to joy. What is it that enables you to be saved from sorrow to joy? What is it that enables you to say, it is well with my soul? Amen. Faith in God. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's well with my soul. I hope, brethren, that God will help us all today. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials that are going to try you and me. Do not think it strange about the persecution. Don't think it strange about the other kinds of problems that come in our lives. But please pray for the grace of God so that every day, in good times or in bad times, you can say from the bottom of your heart, you can rejoice and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May God help us to do that every day, the rest of our lives, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.